We'll switch now live to Lebanon. The Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah speaking.
Try and speak as quickly as possible, because all the issues are sensitive and delicate, and so we must follow up all of these defense, and all of the people of the region and Lebanon must monitor what is going on, because it concerns all of our fate, whether it be the regional situation or the local situation. First of all, regarding Israel, the most important thing we have to say regarding Israel is what happened a few days ago. The Israelis alleged that they shot down an unmanned drone, and they alleged that it entered from Lebanese airspace into the airspace of occupied Palestine, and it was shot down near the city of Haifa, on the coast. The Israeli media outlets, of course, and the Israeli analysts and the Israeli observers accused directly after following up the situation with the concerned sides in Hezbollah. Until that day, until today, no official accusation was made by Israeli officials against Hezbollah. Of course, directly, there are some Lebanese sides who also about an unmanned drone, of course, and these Lebanese sides began to play this These are the facts. Now, according to the facts, until this moment, we haven't witnessed, the Israelis haven't presented any pictures also raised anything regarding the remains of this drone. Did they find the remains? Where is it? This is also something related to responsibility and to announce anything it has done, any steps it has taken, especially towards the Israeli enemy. We have such courage, and we regarding any reservations or fears or any different analysis. for this plane, and even the UNIFIL troops in Lebanon also said that they haven't obtained any such proof. The Lebanese official security services also, so there is an assumption which we must take into consideration, a possibility that everything which was said was created or fabricated and has nothing to do with reality. I have nothing to prove what I'm saying. However, until now, the Israelis didn't present anything which denies this possibility. Now, if we assume from Lebanese airspace and the Israelis are lost. Some of them say its aim was surveillance and spying. Some said only to penetrate the airspace. Some said it carried arms. Radar systems, they have a strong intelligence service, and they also have the assistance of international intelligence and also forces which exist, international forces in the Mediterranean. Observers, analysts, they speak about assumptions. So if we want to go along the sake of my own affiliation, but it's very sensitive and it could have very important big repercussions in the upcoming stage. We have numerous assumptions. The first one was mentioned by the Israeli analysts themselves. This assumption is that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards are the ones who and not realistic and impossible and not true. Number two, the second assumption is that we Lebanon, which exists on Lebanese territory, a Palestinian former Ayyub drone, so they had the ability to send a small drone into the airspace of occupied Palestine. This is possible. It's possible, but we don't have any information in this regard. And actually,
of course, seeing their televised speech being made by Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, he's the Hezbollah Secretary.
Touch a drone from Lebanese Israelis will go ahead quickly and accuse Hezbollah in such a sense. And Israel at this time whereby the region is witnessing tension. And here, when we speak about bad intentions, we have not have the will to confront. And so at this time, let us go ahead and take Lebanon. However, we must believe that some might have bad intentions to drag Lebanon into such a confrontation. The fourth assumption, which I would like to speak of, and why not, Israel itself certain atmosphere and then issues certain threats and achieves numerous goals of
مفتوح يعني بتعرفوا الشبكات الإسرائيلية شغالة.
Exist on the coastline, and this is also something which is very much possible. So these are the assumptions, the like possible scenarios. The Lebanese must look very closely at all of these assumptions. Now some people might feel comfortable in that they say Hezbollah. The officials in the state and in the security services, the politicians in Lebanon, I sincerely hope from all of the political factions who consider themselves as our rivals here in Lebanon, everything related to Israel, let us not take it as part of a political games and political rivalry, because then we'll enter the danger zone, the sensitive zone, the zone which cannot put up with any jokes or rivalry or hatred. Sometimes we feel that some figures, some officials, because of the rivalry and hatred, they have the minds of children in such matters. So we sincerely hope to look very thoroughly into this matter, and of course we will follow up the issue. Yes, there are some worrisome signals in the region, this is true. The emergency situation and the reserve Israeli troops coming to northern or to coming towards southern Lebanon, and just before this speech the spokesman for the Israeli army spoke about this issue. We still believe that this is related to the changes taking place in Syria more than they are related to Lebanon directly, irrespective of Syria. Yes, there are some worrisome signals towards Gaza. This was said in the media, and what increases this anxiety is the talk about American Arab Gulf efforts, new efforts in order to reach some kind of settlement in the Palestinian issue and impose new conditions on the Palestinians or solutions which the Palestinians didn't accept previously. Because normally when we go towards a settlement, before such a settlement, we have a war, some kind of a war, in order to shake the will and the courage and the solidarity of the Palestinians and impose such conditions on them. And so I, as a brother, as someone who bears arms, a companion of arms with the Palestinian resistance factions, especially in Gaza, I call on them, the Palestinians, to be vigilant and to be cautious, especially the military commanders, and I call on them to follow up and monitor this issue. I'd like to also conclude the Israeli subject or topic by saying the following. If there is anyone in the region or in Lebanon or anywhere in the world, anybody who imagines or believes that the resistance in Lebanon now at this current stage as a result of what is taking place in Syria, as a result of what is going on in Iraq and in the region, and the pressures being exerted against the Islamic Republic in Iran, what's going on in Palestine, anybody who thinks that the resistance in Lebanon might be in a weak situation or might be in a vulnerable situation or confused, anybody who thinks this way is completely mistaken. And I'd like to caution the Israeli enemy. I'd like to caution those also who support the Israeli enemy. I'd like to caution them against committing any stupid act against Lebanon, because the resistance in Lebanon, despite everything which we hear about the resistance being preoccupied, we are vigilant, we are open, our finger is on the trigger, and we have the will and determination to defend Lebanon, to defend our territory, to defend the Lebanese people, and to defend all of the achievements and victories which the Lebanese people achieved and the resistance achieved and the Lebanese army achieved over 30 years in the confrontation against the Israeli enemy. And we will confront any aggression with the highest level, higher than anybody could believe, vigilance, capability, and courage, and we will be victorious. And what is most sensitive of all and most dangerous, not just in Syria, but also it's dangerous for Lebanon, for Palestine, for all of the peoples and countries of the region, and anybody who tries to run away from this subject. Attempt to harm our will, our vigilance, our minds, our nerves, however, all of this failed, and it will fail in the future. This isn't the first time whereby we confront a psychological war of such a And I'm going to refer to it before I go back to the main topic, because it is one of the lies which they believe could affect us. We heard the talk about the martyrs, the numbers of martyrs. Over the past few weeks, some Lebanese and some Lebanese and Arab media outlets began with this auction. Some said 50 martyrs. Others said, no, not 50, 100. Then they said 138. Only yesterday, Al Arabiya, according to its own sources, said that of us are killed, and they also spoke about mass graves and about hiding the bodies of the martyrs and also funeral processions. I added the numbers. It's no less, according to their statistics, during this period, we have no less than 1,000 in the villages, in the alleys. Who can hide 500 or 1,000 martyrs? Never had we done this before. Never did we hide our martyrs and then hold funeral processions. Anywhere in the world, their family then is informed and the funeral procession takes place. And sometimes the family is informed before we are informed. It was used as part of a psychological warfare. There are deliberate lies. There are deliberate lies in this perspective, and the rule or the trend today is lie, 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 and lie. When they lie day and night, some people might believe them. Although our families and our procession in public, any one of us who falls as a martyr anywhere, especially those martyrs who fell over the past few weeks and the previous martyrs, we are proud of them. We are not ashamed of our martyrs. We are not ashamed of them. And we are proud of the martyrs. We raise our heads high, just as the families of the martyrs raise their heads high. And all of this atmosphere which was created is incorrect. And here, by the way, I would like to address the families of the martyrs, the great families. My colleagues in the leadership of Hezbollah, different officials visited with these families, and they sent me their feelings and their messages, and I thank them for their stance and for their patience, for their vision, for their historic vigilance. This is what we hope for. This is what we expect. Everything which we heard from the mothers and fathers and families of the martyrs increases our determination to continue to walk on the same path. I wanted to refer to this matter before I go into the general situation. Regarding the general situation in Syria, because then I'm going to go and speak about some other details, just like the Al-Qusayr countryside, as Sayyida Zainab, many issues we could speak of. Over 2 years, first of all, the aim of what is going on in Syria, in brief, is if we take into consideration over 2 years what is happening on the battlefield, the events taking place, also the international stances, the American, European stances, the clear Israeli stances, the stances of the regional powers, the stances of the Syrian opposition and the different groups which are fighting in Syria, and all of the events and developments which are taking place, we can reach a clear conclusion. When we want to issue a stance, we base this stance on analysis and understanding. We reach a clear conclusion that the goal of what is going on in Syria is no longer taking Syria out of the resistance axis. This is what we had said previously, but now it's more than this. It's not only taking Syria out of the resistance axis and the Israeli-Arab conflict. And also, the goal is not only taking the leadership at any price from the current leadership. We can say also with certainty that the aim of all of those who stand behind the war against Syria is to destroy Syria as a state and as a people and as a society and as an army. Why? Because after that, irrespective of the results on the battlefield, first of all, so that there won't be a central strong state in Syria or a strong army, so that Syria will become a failed state, an incapable state, even incapable of taking decisions related to its oil, gas, or its sea, or its territory, or its borders, or its coastlines, just like what is happening in some countries which are the so-called Arab Spring. I don't want to mention names, but you can follow the statements made by the high-ranking leaders in the state and in the former opposition. They speak about specific countries preventing the establishment of an army and a central state or authority. The general picture in the state is that there should be armed groups, different groups occupy different part. A shape of the state, however, a weak state, a fragile state, and these armed groups, every one of them is related to a respective intelligence agency and the Arab state or Western state, and they control the fate of the state and its oil and resources, and the people of the state are left to fight one another and to be enemies with one another and are left for instability. This is first of all. And here, I'd like to tell the Syrians, those who can hear me and those who don't hear me, What is required is that there not be a central authority, a central strong state in the future, irrespective of the future government in Syria, whether it be the current leadership, as I said, or any other. And even further, they want to destroy Syria so that Syria would be cancelled out from the regional equation, eliminated from the regional equation. Some Arab countries always accuse Syria of playing a regional role which is bigger than its own size, which outweighs it. This wasn't true. Now the aim is to eliminate Syria from the regional role, from having regional influence. Syria, which was in one way or another a partner in what was going on, or in the repercussions of what went on, or was a partner in the general approach in the region, whether it be in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Iraq, in other places in the region. Now they want Syria to become fragile, to become hungry, destroyed, a Syria with infighting, whereby no Syrian citizen has the breath or time to think about what is going on in the region. This is the goal of what is happening now in Syria. B, irrespective of the targeting of Syria and identifying the aim, you could say that some members of the opposition know this. Yes, they do know this. And some of them might go along with this goal, whether they realize it or not. Irrespective of targeting Syria, what is going on actually in this country and what is continuing to take place includes a lot of dangers and challenges and threats to Syria for itself and for the Palestinian cause. As we said from the very beginning, now what is being prepared for the Palestinian issue, what they're preparing for the Palestinian issue at the time of ambiguity, at the time of where people are tired, where the future of the Palestinians is not clear, at the time whereby the Americans are strongly coming back to the region because of the discord which some people ignited, the Palestinian cause today is confronting the danger of being eliminated, truly. Also how it affects Lebanon, we must not hide behind the truth in Lebanon, on Iraq, Jordan, Turkey, the whole region, and nobody could argue against this. Israel is now sitting on the throne and its forces are being deployed and it's waiting to take the initiative to bear the fruits as we all stand and watch. See, ever since the beginning until today, we have a confrontation in Syria. Whoever is outside Syria or in Syria, friends or those who support, whether we were friends or supporters, of course, two lines under friends or supporters for the other side, which is fighting the Syrian government, or the friends and the supporters who say that we don't agree to toppling the government in Syria, nor do we agree to the fighting in Syria, and we are part of this. There were always two approaches. The first approach, what was their choice, those who support the first approach? They went as far as possible, toppling the government. And they went to the military option, and they pinned their hopes on the military option, fighting and killing and exhaustion and the ugliest kinds of killings as well, the slaughtering, the beheadings, people being thrown from rooftops. And then they called for international military intervention, politically calling for military intervention. And the chemical weapons issue, which we heard of, is only a new attempt to call for foreign intervention so that they come and destroy Syria. Come and destroy Syria, just like other countries were destroyed before. Now, those who support this approach, or part of this approach, some clerics, some leaders, and some groups, and some issued fatwas also in support of such an approach. Until now, this is still being announced on the media outlets and on websites as well. Even some of those who are considered high-ranking clerics, some of those who are considered moderate, issued very strange fatwas. Even if you speak about Islamic Sharia, I don't want to go into a religious discussion, but even some of those also issued such fatwas. I'd like to ask one of those clerics, can we target people who support the Syrian government? Is this religiously permissible? All the military troops, can they be killed? There are some troops who might have thought of leaving the army, becoming dissidents. The answer is, how do I know? Those who work with the government, we must kill them all. This is what one of the fatwas says. Military personnel, civilians, religious clerics, people who are ignorant, all of them. This is what one of the fatwas actually says. Then the same cleric says that anybody who supports this unjust government, I want to say very clearly, and I quote, this government which killed people in an unrightful way is unjust as well, and anybody who fights must kill these people, meaning clerics, military personnel, everyone. This is what the fatwa says, all of them must be killed. So then, if there are some people who weren't part of this, what happens? Then they go to heaven, maybe. So, for 2 years we have seen all of these fatwas and announcement of jihad. What happened in Lebanon is nothing new. For 2 years fatwas have been issued and we have heard speeches and statements have been issued and calls for jihad and incitement for jihad between brackets. This is nothing new. It has nothing to do with accusing Hezbollah of intervening or not intervening in Syria. This fatwa which I quoted goes back to the very beginning of the events, meaning the state employee in Syria who is going out to fix the electricity, if electricity has been cut, is being killed, according to this fatwa. If someone who works in a certain county cleaning the streets, he's also killed because he works for the state. If any civilian who works in a hospital or works in a health clinic or any agricultural engineer, we know these fatwas, they say, anyone, any employee in this unjust state, it's okay to shed his blood and kill him. The clerics are also killed and kidnapped, religious clerics, normal people. They find fatwas for all of this. Where does this lead to? It leads to destroying Syria. The second approach, which we believe we are part of, is to call from day one and to be vigilant, to caution from day one, to caution of the danger of what is going on in Syria, the danger to Syria, to its people, to its Muslims and to its Christians, the danger to Lebanon, the danger to the Palestinian cause, to Iraq, Jordan, Turkey and the region. And we always called for political dialogue, a political solution and a political settlement. And I would like to ask you, I'd like to ask all of you, in this approach, those clerics, those who believe in this second approach, whether they be Shia, and there are Shia, or Sunnis, and there are Sunnis in this approach as well, or Christians, or Muslims, is there anybody who issued a fatwa which says that everybody who works with the Syrian opposition, everybody who supports the Syrian opposition, it's okay to shed his blood? Kill them, military personnel, civilians, clerics, ignorant people. Give me one cleric who issued such a fatwa. I'm speaking here about the second category, which believes in dialogue, because such a fatwa has nothing to do with religion or Sharia or the interests of the Muslims or the interests of the Ummah. This approach, this second approach, always focused on dialogue and a political solution. Those who believe in the first approach always reject dialogue and political solution, and they insist on toppling the government. And they miscalculate as well. Here, I'll refer to the next point. Even in this first point, there are some, those who call themselves friends of Syria, some call themselves friends of Syria, and are paying money and sending arms and inciting and are calling for international military intervention and are preventing. Even if anyone in the Syrian opposition is thinking of political dialogue, he is then subject to oppression. And I know this. I have names. I have information in this regard. And at one certain stage, nobody in the Syrian opposition, especially those who live outside, nobody had the courage to speak about a political dialogue. Nobody dared to speak about the dialogue because they were afraid of these countries which support the war and the armed groups which are managing this war. There is also a second kind of friends of Syria, like Iran, Russia, China, and other countries, the countries of the BRICS, for example, and those countries have called for dialogue from day one, and they are pushing for a dialogue. Point D is that according to the facts on the ground, on the battlefield, some miscalculations were made on the battlefield. This is not analysis. Many of those who met with presidents and heads of state, emirs, sheikhs and foreign ministers of certain countries which are fighting now in Syria by proxy, they heard some estimations which said that the government will only last 2 months, then they renewed 2 months, and then they renewed three additional months, then they said last Ramadan, and then they said Ramadan of this year, with the Ramadan just a few months ago, and every week or every 2 weeks on the Arab satellite stations they speak about the main battle, the big battle of Damascus. But things are not going in this direction. 2 years have passed on the war and the bloody fighting in Syria. Where will the facts on the battlefield lead to? Where will they lead to? There are some who are putting pressure, especially over the past, over the next few months, actually. Some people are waiting the summit of Obama and Putin. And so let's go to the blackest scenario whatsoever to impose political facts on the battlefield. So where can Syria, where will Syria go to? Where will they head towards in such a situation? Here, I would like to issue a stance. Based upon this vision, I can say that, first of all, you will not be able to topple Damascus. You will not be able to topple. You are incapable of toppling the government militarily. The battle is a long battle, and we are not alleging, and all of our group, our international group, all of those who share our stance, Muslims, Shia, Sunni, Druze, Christians, Alawites, whoever you want, never did we claim, even the government never claimed it wanted to defeat militarily. We are not inciting in this regard because of our vision, because of our stance religiously. However, we would like to tell you that you, with your military ability, are incapable of toppling the government militarily. After 2 years have passed, according to the facts on the battlefield, forget what is said on the Arab media outlets, forget the lies which are being spread in the world. According to the information, according to the facts on the battlefield, you don't have the ability to topple the government. Now, you are still fighting. Those who you are fighting is the army. You are fighting the Syrian army and the popular committees who support the Syrian army. Until now, there are no Iranian forces in Syria. Everybody knows this. And nobody except the Arab media outlets. If the Americans had information, or the British, or the French, or the Europeans, if they had such information, they would have created mayhem and spoke about it day and night. Everybody knows there are no Iranian troops in Syria. Yes, there might be some experts, a small number of Iranian experts, who have been in Syria for tens of years before these events took place. You are fighting the Syrian army and the Syrian popular forces who support the government. Anybody who says anything else about forces or intervention is not true or blown out of proportion, exaggerated. If this is reality until now, then what if in the future we see something more dangerous, whereby some countries or some resistance factions will be forced to intervene on the battlefield in Syria? The stance which I'd like to say is related to two factors. The first factor, in bold letters, as they say, in the end, understand and be clear, receive the message clearly. Syria, in the region and in the world, has real friends. Syria, in the region and the world, has real, true friends. And these friends won't allow Syria to fall into the hands of America or Israel, or to fall into the hands of the Takfiri groups. These friends won't allow this. How? We'll leave these details till later. And when I say this, I say it based on information and based on following up in detail what is going on, not based on analysis or guesses or wishes. The second point, or second factor, is I call I call on the Arab peoples, and I call on the Islamic peoples, I call on the Arab countries, Islamic countries, I call on all the Syrians, those who want to save Syria, those who allege that their hearts are burning because of the Syrian people's suffering, those who feel sorrow every day for the blood which is being spilt or shed in Syria, those who have a mind and those who have character and moral and religion, those who don't want the Palestinian cause to be lost, those who want the best interests of Lebanon, those in Lebanon, and those who want the best interest for Iraq amongst Iraqis, and the same for Jordan, those who want the best interest for Jordan amongst Jordanians and Turkish for Turkey amongst Turkish, those who have such a conviction must exert efforts and work for bring about a political dialogue and political settlement and a political solution. This is the only way anybody who wants to solve the problem and the suffering of the refugees. Jordan has called for a Security Council meeting. Lebanon is crying out. All of the promises haven't been fulfilled. Lebanon now, we have 1 million refugees. The fundamental solution for the refugees is for them to go back to their villages, to their homes, in a dignified way, in an honorable way, as free people. The way to do this is the political settlement. And the religious duty, political duty, national duty, the moral duty is that everyone must work for a political solution and a political settlement. Otherwise, the continuation, if you continue to rely, and I'm not saying this, some people might say that this is a misunderstanding. No, from day one we've called for this, and once again I repeat and I stress that relying on military options is a very big adventure which won't lead anywhere, and it will lead only to more damage and more bloodshed for the people of the region and for all the interests of the Ummah, whether they be Muslims and Christians. Everybody who thinks of Muslims and Christians, everybody who thinks about Shia and Sunnis must work in order to reach a political solution and real political settlement in Syria as soon as possible. What I know in this perspective is that the government announced very long ago that it is ready for dialogue and ready for a political settlement. And what I also know is that the government informed the Russian side the names of the Syrian delegation which represents the government in the dialogue. However, the other side still is rejecting dialogue and rejecting a political settlement and is still imposing disrupting conditions for dialogue and is pushing towards a confrontation and international military intervention. We all saw the resigned head of the National Opposition Coalition when he announced his readiness for dialogue, how he was attacked verbally and very harshly only because he mentioned some terms related to dialogue. The solution today, which fulfills the interest of the Syria, its people and its army and its future and its present and its regional position and the Lebanese interests and the interests of the Palestinians and the region, is this approach, this direction which I spoke of. And any insistence on rejecting dialogue and rejecting the political solution and pushing towards confrontation, what can we say? What can we say about people who don't think except in such a way? This is in the general stance, the general vision. This is how we viewed the situation. This remains our view. We
دماغ الأمم. نحن لم يصدر فريق من
all those people who support dialogue, never did we call for bloodshed amongst the people. However, the others, the governments and the countries and politicians, religious clerics, issued fatwas to kill and shed the blood based on a political position and based on a political vision. With the remaining few minutes, I'd like to speak about some direct issues related to the Syrian issue, but also related to us as Lebanese. The issue of the countryside of the Syrian city of Al-Qusayr. Previously, I spoke about this matter, and I mentioned that there are more than 30,000 Lebanese people who are present and live in these villages, including Muslims and Christians, in the countryside of Al-Qusayr. It's not only one religious sect, and I said they are being targeted. They have been targeted, and they were subject to their houses were burnt, some of the villages were occupied, they were killed, kidnapped, prevented from going to their jobs, preventing from going to their gardens and their farms. Their very presence in these villages was threatened. I'm not inventing these threats. This exists in the phone calls and messages and on the websites and the psychological war which was waged on those inhabitants in that specific area. What increased the danger over the past few months is that as a result of the facts on the ground, on the battlefield, the Syrian army was forced to leave some of these areas, and so these people came in direct confrontation with the armed groups in the countryside of Al-Qusayr. Previously, I also said that we always called on the inhabitants of these villages to reach a calm or truce with the armed groups, and every time this was proposed, we supported it. However, then the armed groups would come and breach any agreement and any reconciliation which could take place between the inhabitants, because the project of the armed groups is something else. They don't have a local project or plan. Over the recent period, there was escalation in the aggressions against these villagers, and I'd like to even add that we have clear information, credible information, and the day might come where we speak about numbers and names, and some Lebanese are involved in this. What I'm saying is that they were preparing a number of fighters to take control of these villages where the Lebanese live, and it was very natural that the Syrian army and the popular forces which support the Syrian army and the inhabitants of the villages, and the assistance should have been given or was given to these people to confront this threat. And so what happened over the past few weeks in the countryside of Al-Qusayr, and it hasn't ended, because these villages are still being subject to assaults and aggressions and shelling and military operations. So what happened, and it backfired. We heard the cries here in the country, and a lot was said. Of course, some of what was said, they estimated it was a reaction. Some people called for jihad, they called for sending fighters into Al-Qusayr and into Syria, and here, so that nobody, you know, try and speak out against us. In Lebanon, for 2 years, everybody who can give a fatwa, the fatwas and the speeches and the incitement and sending money and sending arms and sending fighters, not only by the border but even also by Turkey and via Jordan and Iraq, everything which they could do in Lebanon towards Syria, they already did. Nobody can present himself as a civilian, as someone civilized who is disassociating himself. And one day I can give you the details and numbers, and I can give you names as well. And the time will come for me to do this. What happened after the countryside of Qusayr, or the battles there, what was said in private was said in public. But there are Lebanese who fought previously and participated in the confrontations against Lebanese in the countryside of Al-Qusayr. We also heard that if anybody helped in the Qusayr countryside, who called on you, who requested your help? This is the responsibility of the state to do this. Okay, we always say this is the responsibility of the state. However, what has the state done? And in order not to hold the state responsible, what can the state do, actually? Let's be realistic. Can the Lebanese state or the Lebanese government, the previous government or the future government, can it send a Lebanese army to the Syrian villages inside Syrian territory where we have Lebanese inhabitants? Another country could do this. However, the Lebanese state, according to its nature, its structure, it cannot do this. So the most the Lebanese state can do is to send a letter of protest to the Arab League. But the Arab League is the one providing arms, is the one financing, inciting, and controlling this confrontation. Who must we beg? So it's very natural. It's the right of these people. As I said, these Lebanese inhabitants have the right to defend their existence and to defend themselves and to do everything they can to maintain their presence and to obtain the appropriate assistance. This doesn't need a decision from anyone. This is a moral duty, a humane duty. And here we're not speaking about Lebanese from one specific sect. We're speaking about all of the Lebanese who live in the villages and in the countryside of Al Qusair. And I'd like to conclude by saying that we clearly, let's forget everything being said. We, very clearly, we will not leave the Lebanese in the countryside of Al Qusair. We will not leave them to face the assaults and the attacks from the armed groups. And anyone who needs assistance or support in any way whatsoever to remain and persevere will not be hesitant to provide such support. The other point, which is also sensitive, the issue of the shrine of Sayyida Zainab, may peace be upon her. Let's refer to a general idea. I'd like to draw the attention of everyone that sometimes we have a big, complicated picture, but there are some sensitive details and other details which might not be so sensitive. These sensitive details are very dangerous, very serious as well. In Damascus, we have an area called the area of Sayyida Zainab, where we have the shrine of Sayyida Zainab. This shrine has existed for hundreds of years. Sayyida Zainab, the daughter of Ali ibn Abi Talib, may peace be upon them. Now, it's not important how you understand this, it's important how others understand it. How others understand it. Taking this issue easily, according to priorities, the armed opposition will control Al-Ghouta Al-Sharqiyya and will isolate Damascus or besiege Damascus. The armed groups were able to take control of some of the villages in the Al-Ghouta Al-Gharbiyya or Western Ghouta on the outskirts of Sayyida Zainab. And now, and even in previous months, there are some armed groups who exist only at a distance of hundreds of meters only hundreds of meters away from the shrine of Sayyida Zainab in Damascus. This is the truth of what is going on, irrespective of those who intervene or don't intervene. The sensitivity here, yes, it's very sensitive. It's a very sensitive and unique matter. Why? Because first of all, these armed groups, especially those who belong to the Takfiri school of thought, they sent clear messages and they threatened, and even on the internet, they said that if we enter and control this area, we will destroy this shrine. Can we believe them? Yes, of course we can believe them, because they have no problem ideologically and religiously in such an issue. And we saw in Mali what happened. We saw in Libya what happened. We saw what happened in Tunisia and in Egypt and in Somalia. These takfiris, when they enter into a country, before they see how they can provide security and peace and stability.
كرامة إنسانية بيشوفوا وين في ضريح وين في قبر وين في مقام بيعتبروها أصنام وأوثان ويقومون بهدمها وهذا العمل قد يؤدي إلى تداعيات خطيرة جدا ما حدا يقول عم مبالغ في السابق قام التكفيريون في العراق بتفجير
You're watching Press TV. We were bringing you live there a speech being delivered by Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, the Hezbollah Secretary General, comments he made on various issues, including Israel, Syria, and the region. We will, of course, give you more information about what Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said in our later bulletins. Do stay with us. Coming up, it's News in Brief, and after that, I'll join you with the debate.